You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to This Catholic Life podcast, and I am your host, Rosalie Contrite of the Contrite Catholic blog. You can always find me at www.contritecatholic.com. Today's show is brought to you by the Contrite Catholic Shop. If you go to ContriteCatholic.com and you click the Shop tab, there is a link to the store where you can find watercolor prints of original watercolor work, you can commission custom work, and Catholic greeting cards. Type in the promo Catholic for 10% off your order. Shopping there supports the show, website, and efforts of evangelization. So definitely check that out. Thank you. Now, where we left off last time, if you had listened to the show where we talked about my conversion, I had done it in parts and I kind of left it sort of at a cliffhanger point where I had gone to a shop as an atheist. The shop owner gave me a gift, which was a statue of Mary. She made me promise to get it blessed. I took it home. For whatever reason, I put it outside, probably because it was so big it couldn't have fit in our house. And it was a gift, so I wanted to put it outside. Between the first part of the story and this next part, a few weeks had passed. Time was closing in on whatever it was I needed the gift for. I think it was a confirmation. I wish I knew for sure. Anyhow, I realized I had forgotten the gift in the last encounter because I was so taken aback by the gift. So this time I went on my own, and I went during the day when it would be slower. The first visit had been on a busier Saturday, and Mariano had come along that time. This time I would be prepared to stand firm in my beliefs and my realism. As I saw it, I did not have time for mythical fantasies in my life, and I needed to get my gift. As soon as I walked in, the woman immediately said, "Rosalie, you're back." And she looked so excited. And I had no idea what came over me, but I just sort of shouted at her, "I'm not Catholic." I didn't want to lie to her. She'd been so nice to me. She didn't seem afraid, but I have no idea why I did that. Anyhow, she invited me to sit down to discuss with her why I wasn't. I explained that science had disproven God. Creationism was bunk. This puritanical modesty and purity was totally damaging. And if the church was so holy, how come there were so many priests caught up in sex scandals? I went on to talk about how the church was down on women. There were no women priests. They didn't even want women to take birth control. The church just wants women barefoot and pregnant, is what I said. And I wanted nothing to do with the church. I thought she was going to kick me out, but she didn't. She told me that I was very clearly intelligent and that I had given this a lot of thought. A lot more thought than a lot of people who would claim Catholicism. She said she wanted to help me find answers, and that is why she had the shop. And I thought, great marketing lady. I wasn't very trusting of her, if you can't tell, but that was misplaced. She was very trustworthy, as it turns out. She showed me three books: Reasons to Believe by Scott Hahn, A Refutation of Moral Relativism by Peter Kraft. The book is not as much of a tongue twister as the title. And Good News by Christopher West. The Good News book grabbed me because it touched on a lot of racy, interesting topics that were highly controversial societally and culturally. It was a book about sex. So, you know, should be interesting. I figured if there were anywhere to start, that would be it. I paid for the Good News book that day, and figuring I could find all the holes in the arguments, I would really get a picture of what these poor people thought, and I would start there. And eventually my plan was I was going to find the holes, and I was going to free this wonderful, nice woman from her mythological prison. So as I was checking out, she asked me how it was when I got the statue blessed. And I said, oh, you know, I told you I wasn't Catholic. She said, I know, but you promised me you'd do it. I conceded at this point. I had told her that I would get it blessed because I was so excited. And I was like, yes, yes, I'll get it blessed. And she said she knew a priest to send me to. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. She's going to be sending me to a 100-year-old man. And he's going to tell me about how I'm living like a harlot and my life is all wrong and I need to get with Jesus. That's what I thought. But you know what? She told me where to find this priest. And it definitely was interesting. All right, we are going to handle the feedback I have gotten from listener land right now. We've gotten a lot of just really great, encouraging messages saying that it's so refreshing to have people talk about things in a real way and it's not stuffy. And like I say, there are fantastic, orthodox, interesting, holy resources out there. And I want to be orthodox, but at the same time, I really want to be informal. And I want it to be like we're just having a pint or tea or coffee. You know, if it's 9 a.m., we're not having a pint. Whatever it is for you. All right. So on the NFP episode, I got some anonymous feedback. Well, I mean, I know who they are, but they don't want me to use their name. And they wrote and they said, you know, thank you so much for talking about it. But they wanted me to be clear that Marquette is not the only method out there, that there are other methods like the symptothermal, the Billings method. There are other ways to go about it. And so I just want to be clear that that is the case. Marquette is not the end all be all. I just recommend it because of how easy it is during the postpartum. And most people don't want to switch up their methods over and over. So sometimes it's just easier to use that one because it lends itself so well to the postpartum. The same anonymous writer also wanted me to cover the fact that the abstaining periods are not easy. I did think we touched on that, but she wanted me to be clear that for a lot of people, it is a cross. For some people, especially if they're very irregular, these periods can be quite long, and that it can present some obstacles in the marriage, and that she just wanted me to stress that even though it is hard, even though a lot of people hate this time period, it's worth it. And she would not change it for the world. So that was really nice to hear. And I agree. Those abstaining 5 days, 7 days, week, whatever you have, they're terrible. Hate them. Everybody hates them. But not, and as with everything in life, I think the easy way is not always good for us. It's easy to sit on the couch, and it's hard to go for a run, but going for a run is better for you. It's easy to go through the drive-thru with the kids. It's harder to make a healthy meal, but I think it's pretty clear what's better for you. And so I tend to look at it that way and try to remember that what I'm doing easy does not equal good in life. And in this case, NFP has very clear benefits to your marriage, with NFP couples having divorce rates of about 2%. So that's refreshing. You're probably in the 98%. Yay! So I did get another letter from somebody who felt on the NFP episode, oh, y'all love that one, that we left out a few topics. They wanted us to touch on some, essentially kind of the transmitting the faith to the next generation. Okay, we do things differently as Catholics, as people who recognize the sanctity of the body. So what does that mean for sex education? What does that mean for teaching our kids? Because some schools just are like, here are some condoms, get on birth control, don't have a baby. Or, you know, some schools are like, don't have sex, you'll die. You'll get pregnant and you will die. So it just really depends on the school what they're saying. And so they're saying, in a Catholic perspective, what resources do we have, and how would you approach it? And so I will have somebody on again, and we will talk about age-appropriate theology of the body. How do we start with the kids? What books are good, and what are methods that we recommend? So I do hope that you guys find that useful. And if you have any questions, comments, criticisms, especially on the show, if you're unhappy, please, please write me.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Hello, everybody. We are here at the Synod. This is Rosalie Contrite. I mean, who else would it be? And I am here with Martina of Little Southern Blog. Say hello.
Hey, everybody.
And we are talking about signal graces. Sorry, I forgot there for a second. And signal graces are defined as, according to me, because Google plus microphone equals theologian, just in case you were worried about that. Are graces that are, they're signs given to you by God or our Blessed Mother or whatever. One of the promises of the rosary is that you'll receive signal graces. Okay. So, I'm not just making this up, but they're not necessarily an answer to your prayer. So it's not like, God, please send me money, and then there's a package at your door and that's a signal grace. Like, that's not, what a signal grace is. Usually people mean that they see a sign and they just know in their heart that it's from God. It could be a coincidence. And so, Martina, you can go ahead and start with a story about a signal grace that you've received.
So this isn't so much directly to me because I'm having a Catholic mind link, but for Ed Michael, so those who have been paying attention to this show and or have read my blog know that my husband is kind of on his own faith journey called The Chronicles of Ed. And one day he gives me a call. And actually, backtrack, everybody. So, as Rosalie said, there are signal graces from the rosary, praying the rosary. Well, we pray the rosary all the time. And one of our favorite novenas is the 50-40 rosary novena. So when we pray this, one of my intentions I've always prayed for is for his conversion. And one day, he calls me from the car on his lunch break, and he goes, "You won't believe what I just heard. I turned on EWTN," which, by the way, for anybody who's a former atheist, to call their wife and tell them that they just turned on EWTN, kind of a big deal. But he goes, "This is what I heard." He said the first five words that came out of the radio was a priest saying, "Ed, God is calling you." Point and done. He said there was no intro. He said it wasn't, "Oh, so-and-so, Ed, blah, 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 blah." It was, those were the first five words. And I said, "Really? What more do you need? If you need a neon sign, you just got it."
Yeah. Like,
God literally, through the radio, people pray their whole lives for, like, signs from God. And just, you know, for someone, his biggest thing was, "I need to know God is real." And I always asked him, I said, "Well, what would it be? What would it take?" He goes, "I don't know, but I would need something pretty, you know, impressive or in quote unquote real to him," though he couldn't necessarily define what real was, but fine. Well, I don't think it'd get much more real than that, because that was very specific sentence phrasing. And
yeah, it's not even "God is calling you." It's "Ed, God is calling you."
Right. And the funny thing is, it wasn't even a show. The priest, I think it was like Catholic Answers or something, or like, I don't know what it was, but they were talking to a girl. It wasn't even a guy. So however the word was that was phrased, what he heard was just that ED part.
Yeah, it was probably like past tense something.
Right. But yet it was like catered to him because he turned on that radio at just that moment where that's what he heard. It's like you can't get much clearer, which is so cool. But I do agree with what you're saying, how I feel like sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. And we're like, "God, just give me a sign. Mary, give me a sign. St. Therese, give me that rose." And you are looking for that rose everywhere. I mean, I know I am like, "Where's that rose? Is it on Facebook? Is it on Instagram? Is there one down the street? Is there one at the grocery store? Is he bringing me flowers today?"
Yeah.
And so I think you can definitely kind of drive yourself crazy trying to interpret the signs that you are hoping are there.
I just wanted to hop in here and really quick apologize. I am nursing a baby right now and one who refused to sleep so that we could record. So if you hear her going or something, I don't know, making Chewbacca sounds, that's what's going on. And hopefully she'll fall asleep here and just stay in my lap. But
does she have a Chewbacca mask?
I love that thing. I want it so much.
Okay, total sidetrack. Yeah. Y'all, that, if you haven't seen it, this video of this woman, who seems like the sweetest person ever, she's just sharing this awesome thing that she found at Kohl's, and it's this Chewbacca mask, and it's hysterical. And then Kohl's, I don't know if you saw it, turned around and gifted her two kids, a little boy and a little girl, and her husband, their own masks, so she did not have to share. Yeah, and all these gift cards. It was the coolest thing.
I didn't know that they got gifted. That's so cool that you knew that, but I saw the video, and her laughing with that mask on just brought me so much joy. I want one, and I want to carry out all of my activities during the day wearing them.
Oh, yeah, I feel like that is the coolest thing. It would definitely make, you know, your kids appreciate mommy just a little bit more.
Or, you know, just want to steal mom's stuff. Think, I love you so much. Can I wear your Chewbacca mask?
Oh, and Michael and I were cracking up. It was just, her happiness was just so infectious.
Yeah, she was the perfect person. Like, somebody could have put that on and it wouldn't have made me laugh as much as her. So
she was just so sweet. It was awesome, yeah.
Okay, but back on our topic. So signal graces. And as you said, the St. Therese one, I guess I didn't know that it was a popular thing, but when I was converting, a priest told me that, can you hear her? She's breathing like Darth Vader.
It's a Star Wars baby.
Yeah, it's a star. She's like, okay, so that's what that is. I'm not podcasting with Darth Vader. So a priest, when I was converting, told me that he had gone to seminary with someone and that this seminarian had prayed for a red rose if he was supposed to stay in the seminary. No, a white rose if he was supposed to stay in the seminary, and a red rose if he were called to marriage. And I guess his seminary brothers found out about it and they got it backwards. And they wanted him to stay in the seminary, but they left him the color rose for marriage. And, I think he read that as a sign and, he did leave seminary. So, but after he told me that story, I was like, that's how this works. I just ask for a rose and then I'll get signs. Okay, cool. So I was, you know, of course, skeptical. And I was, you know, still kind of converting, not really sure about my faith. But I thought, you know, well, maybe everything I've assumed about my vocation is wrong. Like, I was living with my boyfriend, so I assumed, you know, that we're called to be together, but maybe we're not, you know what I mean? And so I said, I need some red roses, multiples, if I am supposed to be with my husband, if I'm supposed to be called to marriage, and I'll just take nothing if that's not the, you know, if we're not supposed to be together, something else. I'll know it's you, God, is what I was like. So earlier in that day, I was looking for an adoration chapel, and I was not familiar with like all of the churches in the area. And I got lost in one of the buildings and I found this room and there were some roses in it. And I was like, okay, whatever. I got lost. You know, those aren't for me. So I finally did find an adoration chapel in another church. Like, I drove somewhere else. I was like on a mission to get to adoration. And, there were some roses at this adoration chapel, like really pretty ones, but they were at Mary's feet. And so I was like, if there's poop coming out, go to the bathroom. All right, we're back here. My daughter, she's in bed. This is late. Okay. At our house, the kids are supposed to be asleep. And she just came down the stairs to tell me that there is poop coming out. So I said, go to the bathroom. And now she has, and she's back in bed. And so we're going to be finishing my story of signal graces. So I went to the second adoration chapel location, and they're these beautiful roses, but again, they were with Mary. And so I was like, those are not my roses. Those belong to Mary. Right. And so I was feeling really like, I don't know, just like, this is not working. Like, you know, I was still in that phase and I'm like, what am I even doing? This is ridiculous. And my boyfriend later in the day kind of showed up at our house and he had this giant bouquet of red roses that he had gotten for me. And he never buys me roses because my favorite flower is the daisy. And I just love receiving daisies because they're so happy and fun. And, so it was really strange that he got me flowers, number one, but also strange that he got me roses. And he could never really explain why. And I realized, you know, in that moment that I was really trying to like God's throwing roses at me, like a t-shirt, like a tee with a t-shirt gun. And I'm ignoring them. So anyways, we got married. Spoiler alert. So I went with that. But anyways, there is one signal grace that I always think about from my childhood, which take it for what it is. And people always joke about seeing Jesus like in toast, or I see Jesus in my burrito or whatever. But I was in Medjugorje, which I will hold back my personal opinion on Medjugorje, but I did go on a pilgrimage there. And on the pilgrimage, there was this much older woman who I'm sure by now has passed on, and we kept in touch for a while, and I'm really sad that we lost touch. But anyways, it was somewhere when we were in Medjugorje, I was hungry and we did not have anything packed. We didn't expect the trip to be as long as it had been. And she had like these little, you know, those like wafers that have like waffle on them. Like they look like,
oh yeah, the like chocolate ones, like only just chocolate on the inside. They just call them wafers in Italy.
Yeah, wafers. Well, yeah and they like come in like you can get the things. Vanilla, pink, and chocolate. Yeah, they're Neapolitan. In colored. Okay.
Yvafer, as my family in Italy would call them.
What do they call them?
Yvafer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had an Yvafer with my friend, and she said, you take one half and I'll take the other half. And I said, okay. And that seemed so nice. And she took it. And on her side, she had the outside of a cross. And on my side, I had the inside. So like it had come apart, and one half of the cookie kept frosting in the shape of a cross. Perfect. And the other side had the indent, of course, where it had been taken away. And we each kept those halves. And it was always so strange to me. And of course, you know, I'm sure someone will write us and be like, that's statistically likely to happen in approximately such a percentage of wafers. But I remember thinking, holy cow, because it was perfect. It wasn't like it was just sort of a cross and we were really pushing it. It was a perfectly symmetrical cross.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and that always spoke to me. And I have told the story before, and I'm somewhat hesitant about telling it because people are like, you think God spoke to you in a cookie? And I'm like, no, I don't. But, you know, I was 12, 11 or 12 at the time, and it was really beautiful because at the time I wasn't sure I believed in God. I was on the trip with my mother, and that moment really gave me pause, and it's something I continued to reflect upon in my life, however silly it seems.
I mean, it was big enough, though, to make you remember it all these years later. So
yes.
I feel like those moments are definitely very impactful.
It just, you know, and I think about the woman and her kindness, that I was hungry. We didn't pack enough food. She was a tiny, like, you know, one of those frail little, she was so like on her own, and she was an older woman, and she's just so skinny. And I'm thinking back, like, why did you share with me? I was this chubby little kid. Like, you should have been eating the cookie by yourself. But her sharing had an impact on me too. This is just the show of noises. The dog is shaking and you can hear her call.
Yeah, it's okay. You know,
someone who loves the show, who's super wealthy, could you please come and build a sound studio at my house?
That would be wonderful. And then ship me a little mini version.
Yeah, if we could just.
That'd be so fab.
And we will just crank out some catechism. And we will call my new show
Catholic Wiki by Rosalie and Martina.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and we'll have guest appearances by Mariano because he loved being on last week. I know you haven't heard it yet, but he just filled in because we couldn't get it to work out with somebody else, and I'll keep their name under wraps because they are coming on later. But woo-hoo. I was like, listen, what are you doing?
I don't know. I just keep talking.
Okay. I can see her. She's on Skype.
We're
Skyping.
So we're being weird. It's okay.
But I couldn't find anybody to come on. And so he and I had to carry out a conversation that did not include babies, diapers, the bathroom.
That's hard.
Breastfeeding, pregnancy. It didn't include anything. And I was like, okay, and we also can't fight because it's being recorded. So, honestly, we have one of the best conversations we have had in so long.
That's so awesome.
So, for everybody who wants a little activity to do with their spouse, I challenge you, record a conversation. And what you don't have to post it on the internet or anything like we did, but tell yourself, someone else might listen to this recording. So you can't fight, and it cannot be about the kids. Give yourself a topic. Like, ours was media, and we were going to listen to it. Obviously, now it's on the internet, and anybody can listen to it. But
it is media.
Yeah, it is. But it was just so cool. I was like, I forgot you were funny. I forgot I like you. Oh my God.
It's crazy. We were talking about that actually last week, and I was like, we don't talk anymore. Like, we used to be able to sit there and just talk about anything for hours and hours and hours and hours. And now it's like, okay, work, stress, the kids, the end.
Yeah. And that's
like, it's horrible.
We have to really remember to preserve your relationship once you have kids. Let's just totally change the topic because it's
We're
my
show. Let's do that.
Yeah. Okay. So, but like maintaining the romance, like you have to fight to talk about something that is not the children.
Oh, it's actually kind of agonizing and pain inducing because you want to so badly, yet it's so frustrating because you genuinely draw blank and I remember I was kidding. I was like, we need to talk about something else. Like, if I hear about your job one more time, I might lose my mind. And if we talk about the kids, I know you're going to go crazy. So we were just driving around. The boys were napping. And I was like, let's just talk. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, great. Like, we can talk. And then he's like, what do you want to talk about? And then I felt like the crows or the vultures or whatever in Jungle Book, they're like, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? And, like, it just kept going back and forth. And there was nothing to say.
Yeah.
And it was like, who are we? It's like we don't know who we are anymore.
Yeah, you do. You lose yourself. And part of me, like, refinding myself has been this whole, you know, my website, Rosalie Contrite, and now the podcast. I'm forced to have a conversation with you every now and then, and that's lovely to talk to an adult who speaks English.
He was like, you know, at work, I talk to people all day long. I'm like, but you get to talk to adults. Like, it's crazy to think that, like, I always wanted to be a mom. And I was so excited when I, you know, was able to stay home. I never realized how much I would miss an adult conversation.
We really desired children. But until my first one was actually born, I was kind of like, oh boy, what if this is a big mistake? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. And the second she was born, I was like, oh, I would use my husband's body as a shield to protect you. Know, like, but nothing could have prepared me for that transition to who I would become. But my husband did not experience this, you know, of course, hormone shift. He didn't get pregnant and have the baby. Though he was very proud that he gained some sympathy weight. The whole gaining sympathy weight, we were like united. But in general, like after you're married, I feel like you have to make sure you have something to talk about. And we just got a minivan, by the way.
Wow. So,
yeah. So we are minivan people now. Holla. And
swagger wagon.
Yeah, it's a swagger wagon. And there is a DVD player in it. And so we turned it on and it was just silent in the car. I was like, what? There's nobody talking. And my husband's like, I know. And so I was like, oh, we could talk. And he's like, okay, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, well, it's the same thing that happened to you guys. We're just like, well, you know, I don't know. So But one of my favorite tips for something to continue to talk to your spouse about something that is not the kids is listen to the same podcast. Not necessarily this one, but, you know, This American Life is great. Serial's great. Listen to the same ones. He can listen to it on his way to work. You can listen to it while you do the dishes, or maybe you go to work and he does the dishes, whatever. And then come together purposefully once a week to talk about that episode, and you will be amazed at the conversation you will have that is not related to children or your marriage or even anything in your lives. And you will be like, I forgot. I love talking to this guy. I promise.
Oh, totally. We do the same thing when we are reading books together. And funny enough, tonight, just earlier, we were saying how we need to pick up another book and do it. And the last one we did, oh, goodness gracious, it was Something Other Than God by Jennifer Fulweiler.
Oh, he read that? That's a great book.
Oh, no. It's funny. He didn't want to read it. So, Jennifer, if you're listening, he did not want to read your book. But me being the stubborn person that I was, made him listen. And I was like the audio tape. And he sat there. And funny enough, we got so into it that we literally were like talking about them as if they were our besties. Like, oh, Jennifer, and, you know, this happened and she's totally going to do this. And we were so into it. And we were really sad when it was over. Like,
yeah. Generally,
because she has this way of writing that was just like talking to your best friend, which is awesome, by the way. And so now we're going to try to find another book because it really did help us just talk about something else and have something else to like think about that wasn't our kids. It was expanding, you know, our point of views on things. And so we need to pick a new book. But I am.
She has a new book, you know.
She does.
Yes, she does.
I need to get on that.
I think it's called.
Like everything. I'm kind of a stalker. It's okay.
Yeah, Jennifer, if you are listening, you do have a stalker. You may want to be, you know, concerned about your safety.
Funny thing is, she linked in with him on LinkedIn. And I was like, really? You get the cool Catholic friend on LinkedIn? And I'm chopped liver?
Oh, yeah. But no, she does have a new book. And it's, I think it's called Among the Scorpions. And I want to say that it's about parenting or life in suburbia. I don't know. I'm sorry. This is a worse plug for a book, but people have told me that it's amazing. So,
well, he said he heard her on, I think it was the Catholic Guy show, and they're talking about sexting. And I was like, how do I miss the good episodes on the radio? And of course, he was driving somewhere. I came home to work or something. And he, of course, you know, my pseudo ex, I don't know, atheist husband listening to, you know, Catholic radio.
You know, if you've got somebody who's kind of on the cusp of faith and they're not sure, I really think the Catholic Guy show is hysterical. Like, I listen to it, especially when he has Father Jim Chern on, and just their relationship is so hysterical.
Oh, so funny
to listen to. But anyways, we do have to wrap this up, and I'm actually kind of sad. But I'm sure a kid will run in the room in a second and tell me they have to go to the bathroom and they need a cup of water, or there's a ghost in their room. That's a new one. All right, so we are signing off. Peace out, homies. No, that was so funny. Bye, everybody.